from John chapter 1. In the beginning was the gospel, preached through the Son. And the gospel was the Word, and the Word was with the Son. And the Son was with God, and the Son was of God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made which was made. In Him was the gospel, and the gospel was the life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the world, and the world perceiveth it not. From section 90. Verse 4, B and C. Ye were also in the beginning with the Father, that which is spirit, even the spirit of truth. And truth is the knowledge of things as they are, and as they were, and as they are to come. And whatsoever is more or less than this is the spirit of that wicked one, who was a liar from the beginning. The spirit of truth is of God. I am the spirit of truth. In Deuteronomy, chapter 4, verse 2. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. In Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 and 19. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. In 3 Nephi, chapter 5, beginning with verse 32. Behold, verily I say unto you, I will declare unto you my doctrine. And this is my doctrine, and it is the doctrine which the Father hath given unto me. And I bear record of the Father, and the Father beareth record of me, and the Holy Ghost beareth record of the Father in me. And I bear record that the Father commandeth all men everywhere to repent and believe in me. And whoso believeth in me and is baptized, the same shall be saved. And they are they who shall inherit the kingdom of God. And whoso believeth not in me and is not baptized shall be damned. Verily, verily, I say unto you that this is my doctrine, and I bear record of it from the Father. And whoso believeth in me believeth in the Father also. And unto him will the Father bear record of me, for he will visit him with fire and with the Holy Ghost. And thus will the Father bear record of me, and the Holy Ghost will bear record of unto him of the Father and me, for the Father and I and the Holy Ghost are one. And again I say unto you, you must repent and become as a little child, and be baptized in my name, or you can in no wise receive these things. And again I say unto you, you must repent and be baptized in my name, and become as a little child, or you cannot in no wise inherit the kingdom of God. For verily I say unto you that this is my doctrine, and whoso buildeth upon this, buildeth upon my rock, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against them. And whoso shall declare more or less than this, and establish it for my doctrine, The same cometh of evil, and is not built upon my rock. But he buildeth upon a sandy foundation, and the gates of hell standeth open to receive such, when the floods come and the winds beat upon them. Therefore, go forth unto this people and declare the words which I have spoken unto the ends of the earth. In the scriptures which I read, it gives us a warning, an admonition to not add or take away from the word of God. Because if we add or take away from the word of God, we're changing Jesus or our perception of who he is. Because he is the word that became flesh. And to add or take away from the word of God is to make him less than who he is. Because he is Lord. He is our God. He is our creator. I'd like to propose to you, I already mentioned this to Brother Morris this week. I'm not going to follow exactly along with the theme today. I actually was thinking more of last week's theme about seek the lost. And in particular, seek the lost who are of the house of Israel. And so for today, my theme is, what is the fullness of the gospel? We read in, if we return to section 26, Joseph was seeking for information about the sacrament and what they should use for the wine and the bread, if that mattered. And in verse 1d, it's basically saying that you shouldn't purchase wine; it should be of your own make. And in verse 2a, it says, "Behold, this is wisdom in me; marvel not." For the hour cometh that I will drink of the fruit of the vine with you on earth. So Christ is saying he's coming. And with Moroni, whom I have sent unto you to reveal the Book of Mormon, containing the fullness of my everlasting gospel, to whom I have committed the keys of the record of the stick of Ephraim. Now that's a prophecy that was that's being fulfilled in the Old Testament. So Moroni was sent to reveal the Book of Mormon, which contains the fullness of the gospel. And he was given the keys of the record of the stick of Ephraim. Now that kind of, that says, where is the fullness of the gospel? It doesn't quite answer the question, what is the fullness of the gospel? I'd like to propose another question here before we get into that original question. Doesn't the Bible contain the gospel? Well, if we turn to 1 Nephi chapter 3, beginning with verse 161, 1 Nephi 3, 161. And he said unto me, the book that thou beholdest is a record of the Jews, and it contains the covenants of the Lord which he hath made unto the house of Israel. And it also containeth many of the prophecies of the holy prophets, and it is a record like unto the engravings which are upon the plates of brass, save there are not so many. Nevertheless, they contain the covenants of the Lord, which he hath made unto the house of Israel. Wherefore they have great worth unto the Gentiles. And the angel of the Lord said unto me, thou hast beheld that the book proceedeth forth from the mouth of a Jew. And when it proceeded forth from the mouth of the Jew, it contained the plainness of the gospel of the Lord, of whom the 12 apostles bear record. And they bear record according to the truth, which is in the Lamb of God. Wherefore these things go forth from the Jews in purity unto the Gentiles, according to the truth which is in God. And after they go forth by the hand of the 12 apostles of the Lamb, from the Jews unto the Gentiles, thou seest the foundation of a great and abominable church, which is most abominable above all other churches. For behold, they have taken away from the gospel of the Lamb many parts which are plain and most precious. And we go on to read that because many of those parts were taken, many of the plain and precious parts of the gospel were taken away or left out, and other things were added. And yet we read in the scriptures that the Lord admonishes us, even in the in Deuteronomy and other scriptures, to not add or take away from his word. He is the word. And to take away from those words changes God into our image and not the other way around. We're created to be in his image. We don't change God to make the image that we want. We're not supposed to anyway. So we know that there was a reason why the restoration had to come forth, was to restore that which was taken away, the many plain and precious things that had been removed. So the short answer to that question, what is the fullness of the gospel? The fullness of the gospel is the whole truth and nothing but the truth. It is the gospel in its purest form, with nothing added or taken away. In Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11, there's a reason God speaks and gives what he gives. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. So when God gives the word and he speaks the word, there's a reason he says what he says, because he has a purpose for it to go forth and accomplish something. So if we want to look more at this question about what is the fullness of the gospel, we know that it is the whole truth and nothing but the truth. It is the gospel in its purest form, but what were the plain and precious parts of the gospel that were taken away? The answer to that we find in the title page of the Book of Mormon. And from the title page, we see that these are words which are written to the Lamanites, who are a remnant of the house of Israel, and also to Jew and Gentile. So these words are important to the house of Israel, and also to Jew and Gentile. And the purpose of these words is to, number one, to show unto the remnant of the house of Israel what great things the Lord hath done for their fathers. Great things they've done for their fathers. And that they may know the covenants of the Lord, that they are not cast off forever. And also to the convincing of the Jew and Gentile that Jesus is the Christ, the eternal God, manifesting himself unto all nations. There's 5 points that I would like to leave with you as a part of this scripture here. Number one is that he gave these written things to the house of Israel, also to the Jew and Gentile, that, number one, to turn the hearts of the children towards their fathers. Number two, that they may know the covenants of the Lord. Number three, to remind them that they are not cast off forever. Number four, to the convincing of the Jew and Gentile that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the eternal God. And number five, that he manifests himself to all nations. Now, each one of those topics, those five items, I could give a whole sermon or more on every single one of those. So I'll try to summarize them this morning, the time that we have. Number one, that they may remember the great things that the Lord has done for their fathers. We read in Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. So he wants us to remember those who came before us. There's a reason why we need to remember those who came before us, our fathers in the Word. And if we look at Hebrews chapter 11, Even this one chapter, you could have a whole sermon just on this. But this is the chapter on faith. And it is the reason why we want to remember our fathers. Because it was not our fathers themselves, but it was the faith that they had in the one and true God. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And because of their faith, great things were done. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And we go on to read that by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. And before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of the things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. And by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should receive after for an inheritance, obeyed. He didn't know why, except that God told him. So he did what God told him to do. And he sojourned in the land, and he continued, he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And we know the rest of the story. His wife Sarah, who was beyond the time of conceiving, ended up conceiving a child, who was Isaac. And we know the story of how God commanded him to give his only son. And so I'm sure he struggled with that. But all he could do was be obedient to the word of the Lord. And so he took his son Isaac up onto that altar and put him on top of the wood and was prepared to slay him, and the angel intervened on his behalf. And the angel provided the lamb for the sacrifice instead. And we know that that was a type and shadow of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, our Messiah and Savior, who would come in the meridian of time and die upon the cross. And so we see the many examples of Moses and his faith in leading the people of Israel out of the bondage in Egypt, and the parting of the Red Sea. All these things happened because our fathers had great faith in the one true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They sought the Lord. The Lord answered. He gave them commandments and they obeyed. And after they obeyed, they began to come to an understanding. It was through the obedience that their faith began to bear fruit in their lives. And the Lord made covenants with them because of their great faith. And the Lord moves in mighty ways even today and will, even to the end of time, to fulfill those covenants that he made with our fathers unto all generations. Why remember the great things that the Lord did for our fathers? It is because of the covenants. So we come to number two, that they may know the covenants of the Lord. Adam, in Genesis chapter 4, and by the way, this is only in the inspired version. And down in verse 5, it says, "And he gave unto them commandments that they should worship the Lord their God and should offer the firstlings of their flocks for an offering unto the Lord. And Adam was obedient unto the commandments of the Lord. And after many days, an angel of the Lord appeared unto Adam, saying, Why do you offer sacrifices unto the Lord? And Adam said unto him, I know not, save the Lord commanded me." So he didn't understand why he was doing it. He just did it because God told him to do it. So now he receives the blessing by doing and being obedient to the commandment of the Lord. And then the angel spake and said, "This thing is a similitude of the sacrifice of the only begotten of the Father, which is full of grace and truth. Wherefore thou shalt do all that thou doest in the name of the Son, and thou shalt repent and call upon God in the name of the Son forevermore." And it goes on to talk about how he was taken down into the waters and baptized. So the thing that was removed out of the scriptures that the restoration brought forth was the covenant of baptism. The covenant and the purpose of an ordinance or baptism is to bring us to remembrance of Jesus Christ. That's the purpose of the ordinances. That's why they have the power of godliness, because they bring us back to focus upon what's most important in our lives. So you have that unique gift of the antiquity of the gospel. The antiquity of the gospel means that it existed from the very beginning of time. And it is for the purpose of the redemption of all mankind, even as many as will. Repentance and faith in Jesus Christ and the baptism for remission of our sins. It was taught from the very beginning. It's very clear in the Book of Mormon and in the inspired version. Enoch. This is another story which is only found in the inspired version in Genesis chapter 7. So Enoch was given, we know what the story of Enoch, how his, because of his faith in calling the people to repentance, he was the seventh generation from Adam, and him and the city of Enoch were taken away. And the promise was that the city of Zion would come forth again in the last days. So we still look forward to that promise coming to pass. It is a promise. God does not lie. He spoke it. It shall happen. And we see in verse 79 that it came to pass that Methuselah, the son of Enoch, was not taken, that the covenants of the Lord might be fulfilled, which he made to Enoch. So here's a covenant. God is going to move his hand to make sure that covenant is fulfilled, no matter how long it takes to fulfill that covenant. So he preserved or held back Methuselah, the son of Enoch, so that there might be seed unto man to bring to pass his covenants. For he truly covenanted with Enoch that Noah should be the fruit of his loins. So there was a prophecy unto Noah. And we can see in Genesis 8:23, "But with thee I will establish my covenant, even as I swore unto thy father Enoch, that of thy posterity shall come all nations." So the promise is to Noah that out of Noah's seed shall come all nations. We go on to read in chapter 9, the Lord again speaks to Noah after the flood. And beginning in verse 19, it says, I will set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant, which I made between me and you, for every living creature of all flesh, that the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. So here's another covenant. It's the rainbow, that no more would he destroy all of flesh through a flood. And the bow shall be in it, in the cloud, and I will look upon it that I may remember the everlasting covenant. So there's two parts here. There's the covenant to Noah, and there's also the covenant to Enoch. And unto Enoch he gave an everlasting covenant, that I may remember the everlasting covenant which I made unto thy father Enoch, that when men should keep all my commandments, Zion should come on the earth, again come on the earth, the city of Enoch, which I have caught up unto myself. And this is mine everlasting covenant, that when thy posterity, that's us, we are the posterity of Noah. Are we not? There's not a single human on this earth past the flood that did not come from Noah. They all came from Noah, and we are his posterity. When thy posterity shall embrace the truth and look upward, then shall Zion look downward, and all the heavens shall shake with gladness, and the earth shall tremble with joy. And the general assembly, the church of the firstborn, shall come down out of heaven and possess the earth, and shall have place unto the end come. And this is mine everlasting covenant which I made with thy father Enoch. Do we remember that covenant? Do we make it a part of our life, in our worship, in our prayers? That's a very important covenant, the everlasting covenant. So we see after many generations, after the flood, guess what happened? People began to forget the covenants. When they forget the covenants, they take away the things that are important. And they add to it by chasing after other doctrines, the doctrines and creeds of men, not of God. So we see what happens in Genesis chapter 12. We read the story of Abraham. Abraham was the Lord's servant who brought forth a restoration of the covenants and ordinances that were lost after the flood. And we see the great, and we read in chapter 11 about how a man of great faith Abraham was. But through Abraham, he was brought to remembrance of the everlasting covenant, that when thy seed shall embrace the truth. Who is the truth? What is the truth? Jesus is the truth. He is the Spirit of truth. He is the Word of God become flesh. He brought to remembrance the law of tithing. He brought forth to remembrance the Melchizedek priesthood, and that's in the inspired version only. He brought forth the ordinances that had been forgotten. The ordinance of baptism. And the purpose of baptism was when they became of an age of accountability that they remember to repent and have their sins washed away, that they might have their eyes single to the glory of God and focused upon Jesus Christ. He is the reason why they were baptized. They had a covenant or the ordinance of circumcision. There was a purpose, a principle behind it. The principle was that little children are innocent. Because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, little children are innocent until they come to an age of accountability. And that ordinance was given that they might remember that covenant. Yet people have forgot it. Even Moses forgot it. He was chastised by his wife for not having him being circumcised. And we see on through scriptures how God continually moves. After many generations, we see how the firsthand witnesses of each restoration movement where God moves to bring to man the remembrance of who he is, the remembrance of his covenants, to turn our hearts towards our fathers. By the third and the fourth generation, we see that they begin to forget because the third and fourth generation don't seek after their own firsthand witness. Well, they know the stories that what grandma and great-grandma talk about, or grandpa. But they're not interested in it anymore. They're going to go after their own thing. The ordinances are changed, covenants forgotten. So continually throughout history, we see that God had to move on Abraham to restore knowledge of the covenants. He had to move upon Israel, upon Joseph, upon Moses. Each of them, he gave promises and covenants. Israel was given the promise that they would be a nation of kings and priests. Why? Because it would be through the house of Israel that they would take the knowledge of the covenants and of who God is, who Jesus Christ is, to all nations. But we see that when they got up to the mount, and Moses went up to the mount and got the first set of tablets and came down. He had to break those tablets. They weren't ready. They didn't even want to. They were invited to go up on the mountain with Moses, and they refused. So they were given the Mosaic Law as a school teacher. And we read that in Galatians 3. So the importance is of looking to our fathers is that we might remember the great things that were done, the covenants of the Lord that he made, because every single one of those covenants, the covenant he made unto Abraham, by thy seed shall all nations be blessed. Are each one of you remembering that covenant? That as of the seed of Abraham, you might be a blessing to others? So that through you, God can fulfill that covenant. Number three, that they are not cast off forever. We see in the parable of the prodigal son. Now, a lot of us think of that parable from a personal standpoint. You know, you can wander off and then remember when you're down in the pit, as low as you can get, that, oh, I had it better back there, and he goes back to his father's house, and his father welcomes him. But that's a type and shadow of the house of Israel. The house of Israel went wandering after other gods. Here you have David, who set up the kingdom over all 12 tribes, and they were supposed to be an example for the rest of the world to know who the true God was and take that knowledge of God and his covenants to the rest of the world. And guess what? Instead of taking those to the rest of the world, they went a-whoring after other gods. And so he gave them over to that which was their desires. But he will move his hand on behalf of Israel even into the last days, in the days we see. And Brother Richard has read some testimonies out of that book, The Insanity of Obedience. And I've read many testimonies online too, China, and in the Middle East, and in Asia. People are coming back to Christ because they are of the house of Israel, and God is moving even now. He remembers he will not cast you off forever. So when he says that we are not cast off forever, that's not just you as an individual when you're going through hard times, but it is a promise you can always come back to him. Number four, to the convincing of the Jew and Gentile that Jesus is the Christ, the eternal God. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is one God. In Exodus and in Deuteronomy, it says very explicitly, I, the Lord God, am one God. There's only one God. in the Book of Mormon and in the Inspired Version, it's very clear about there's a lot of dissension and disunity amongst the Gentiles. And remember, we saw the prophecy there in the Book of Mormon about how because the record of the Jews, things were removed from it, they stumble. And if you were to look at a chart of how many Christian churches there are, there's really hundreds, if not thousands, of Christian churches. All because they have different doctrine and different beliefs. Because they do not have the fullness, and they are not united in that fullness. In the Inspired Version and in the Book of Mormon, it's very clear that Jesus Christ is God. He is the Father because of the Spirit. He is the Son because of the flesh. Are we not created in that same image? Do we not have a spirit? And that spirit came in our own time and placed into this body of flesh. And the two coming together makes up our soul. And number five, Jesus shall manifest himself unto all nations. Deuteronomy, Acts, Galatians, Romans, Peter, James, they all say that God is no respecter of persons. The gospel is for everyone, for the redemption of all mankind, whosoever will receive it. They've been given it. He died upon the cross. Salvation is given unto all men if they will but receive it. But it's greater than salvation. It's a part to be in the kingdom of God with Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, as our King. Abraham had his covenant that by his seed shall all nations be blessed. And that blessing is the knowledge of who Jesus Christ is and the covenants which were given. The atonement of Christ applies to all who are accepted. And there's many, many scriptures that I could go through that bear witness of that. And of Israel's purpose to restore and raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the covenants of the people that they might be a light unto the Gentiles. You ever wonder why a lot of Jews don't believe in Christianity? Because Christianity is missing something. Some Jews are beginning to come to that understanding. There are some Jews that have turned unto a knowledge of the Lord and who he is. But if we don't have the fullness, how can we convert somebody to God if they're monotheistic and I'm a Christian who believes in more than one God? That's a topic for a different sermon. To close, what is the fullness of the gospel? It is the whole truth and nothing but the truth. It is the gospel in its purest form, with nothing added or taken away. Those plain and precious things that are part of the fullness of the gospel are written to the house of Israel and also to Jew and Gentile to turn the hearts of the children towards their fathers, that they may know the covenants of the Lord, to remind them that they are not cast off forever, to the convincing of the Jew and Gentile that Jesus is the Christ to the eternal God, manifesting himself to all nations.